No, he replied, but if you do not give me permission to search the place I can leave the constable here to watch you while I go and get the necessary warrant. So I just shrugged my shoulders and said, all right, go where you like, look where you like. So the two policemen wandered around, looked at everything, and most extraordinary of all, they pulled out the drawers of my desk and looked inside. I don't know what they thought they would find there. But anyway, after about 3/4 of an hour they appeared satisfied, and as they were leaving Mr. Giant said, don't do it again, sir, please. It makes too much work. And off they went. The Lama Miniadon up laughed, whatever you do, Lobsang, he said, you seem to attract the wrong sort of attention. I can't think of anyone else who would be almost arrested just for showing his aura when he was thinking. The old man was looking a bit gloomy as he said, so you think my task is not finished, eh? What haven't I done now? The Lama Miniadon up replied, you've done everything. It's not a question that you have left anything undone. You have done more, much more than you came here to do, but it so happens that through the failure of others there is still more to do. What? Asked the old man. The Lama Miniadon up looked down his nose and tried not to smile as he said, there may be another book to make the 12th. We shall have to think about it. It would certainly be appreciated. But there is another little task, which has to be done, something in connection with an invention which may yet burst upon this startled world. For some time the old man and the Lama Miniadon up discussed things, but this is not the place to disclose all that was said. The old man, sick almost to death, and with expenses mounting through medical bills, and other vital expenditures, wondered how he was going to stick it for even a few months longer. At last the superastral of the Lama Miniadon up faded, and the failing daylight took over once again. Time. What a strange thing is this artificial time. One could travel from the astral world here and back in the twinkling of an eye, and yet down here on this earth one was bound by the clock and by the motion of the sun controlling the clock. Here in New Brunswick the sun was setting. A few thousand miles away John Henderson would still be busy at his work about in the middle of the afternoon. Not so far away Valeria Saok, that paragon of loyalty and exactitude, would probably just be leaving her office and probably thinking of her tea. Yes, most certainly, thought the old man, Valeria would be thinking of her tea because one weakness was that she thought too much of food. I shall have to talk to her about her diet, thought the old man to himself. In the other direction the worst man ladies would probably be at home very late in the evening, perhaps listening to the radio, perhaps studying, and perhaps one of them just about to go on night duty. But here the ladies Taddy and Cleo were having their evening play, chasing around with a favorite toy, and the favorite toy was a nice, soft, woolly belt from a dressing gown. The old man thought of Taddy and Cleo, thought of how since they were born they had been treated as human children, how everything had been done to make them feel that they were entities as important as any humans, and the task had been most fruitful, the results had been most gratifying, for these two little people were indeed real people. From midnight until midday Miss Cleo was mentioned first, but from midday until midnight Miss Daddy's name was mentioned first, and so they were assured of quite equal treatment without any trace of favoritism. Miss Taddy, ample, plump, and comfortable looking, loves to crouch down behind one of the scratch pads, while the extremely beautiful, very slender, very graceful Miss Cleo bounces up and down and does wildly improbable feline gymnastics. But the night was growing darker, the air was growing colder, and there still was a nip of frost about. Outside the red of the thermometer was dropping, outside people on the road were well muffled up. The old man had been looking forward to this day, the day when the 11th book would be ended and he could push aside all thoughts of writing and say, never any more, it's all over, no more writing, my time on earth has just about finished. But now with the visit from the superastral of the Lama Miniadon up, well, the old man thought, isn't one's task ever ended? Is one driven along like a rickety old car until it finally falls to pieces? I'm just about in pieces now, he thought. But there it is, what will be, and when a task has to be done, it will not be done unless there is someone there to do it. So, thought the old man, I must try to hang on a little longer, and as for writing another book, who knows? It might be good to make the number in English up to 12. He thought, I would like to tell everyone, everyone throughout the world, that all these books are true, everything related in these books is true, and that is a definite statement. So we come to the end of what is not a perfect day after all, because the task is not ended, the final battle is not yet won, there is more to be done, and little time and little health with which to do it. We can but try. Here and now let me offer my most grateful thanks to Mrs. Sheila Rouse, alias Buttercup, for the immense care and work she has devoted to typing my books, care and work which is appreciated perhaps more than she knows. Let me offer my thanks to Rab for the extreme care and accuracy with which she has checked everything and made truly worthwhile suggestions. She has aided my task. And finally, but by no means least, let me thank Miss Tadlinker and Miss Cleopatra Ramper for the encouragement and entertainment they have given to me. These two dear little people have made it worthwhile to continue a little longer, for never in the whole of their 4 years of life have they shown any spite, any bad temper, and not even any irritation. If humans were as equable and sweet-natured as these two, there would be no trouble on the earth, no wars. Then it would indeed be the golden age for which people must yet wait. And so at last we come, in this book, to the time when he can say the end.